Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm obviously I'm very glad that my mother is doing well. And but just real quick, praise the Lord. And just real quick, when did she have this procedure? And where is she at today? Doing what? Praising the Lord, praying for people. Praise the Lord. It's a great example. You're going to have heart surgery on Friday and church on Sunday. Praise the Lord for it. And praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about more righteousness mentality. Somebody say righteousness. Mentality. Now, I don't want y'all to mistaken what we're actually talking about today. You cannot have more righteousness. You do not grow in righteousness. You can walk in righteousness, but you don't gain more righteousness as you go along in your Christian walk. It's a reality. Just like you and I have citizenship to the United States of America, we have citizenship to heaven. Righteousness is either on or off. Either you have it or you don't. And I want to tell you, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. You don't attain it through works. That's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. Because you will work yourself like a hamster on a wheel trying to attain something that you can't attain. You can't attain righteousness. You can receive it. You can't attain healing, but you can receive it. Amen? Let's turn to Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 21. So no, you cannot be more righteous, but you can have more of a righteousness mentality in your life. So in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, when you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him, without keeping the requirements of the law. I'm reading out of the NLT this morning. So if you're in your Bible app, switch over to the NLT. But it says, but now God has shown us to be made a way to be made right without keeping the requirements of the law. Or in other words, there's a way to be made right without doing all the hard work. Amen? As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Christ Jesus. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Somebody say that with me. No matter who we are. How do we become righteous? By faith. Now we're going to talk about what is righteousness. We're going to talk about how we receive righteousness. But something that I want to kind of tackle at the forefront is that there is this battle in Christianity of the sin consciousness and the sin reality and mentality and the righteousness mentality. If you go just a few verses back into verse 10, it says, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous. No, not one. If you even go on and it talks about our righteousness being as filthy rags. And a lot of us believe that there is none righteous. And any righteousness we have is as filthy rags. So there's just really no righteousness reality for us. We'll be righteous one day. There's someday we'll be righteous. Maybe in heaven, or maybe if I do enough, I can be called righteous. But that's where people just take a verse and don't put it back where they found it. Are you with me? Take that verse, and I find that as a father, I have to say that so many. Take that and put it back where you found it. Put it back where you found it. And so if you want to continue on from verse 10, we get it to verse 21. It says, but God has shown us a way to be made right without keeping the requirements of the law. And then in verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And a lot of people will take that verse right there. But what do? You put it back where you found it. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead. Somebody say that. He's looking ahead. Where is he looking? He's looking at the blood. When he's looking at you, he's looking through the blood. For he was looking ahead and including them and what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. So what is righteousness? Well, if you look in the word, it means to be right. It needs to be to have right standing with God. Right standing with God. It means to be right with God. To be in right standing as if you had never left or if sin had never happened. To be in right standing as if you never left and sin never happened. When we think of the story of the prodigal, how did the father react when he came home, when the son came home? As if he had never left. He restored it all back and some. He gave him the finest robe. He didn't have the finest robe before he left, but he does now. Amen? We do now. We didn't have the finest robe. Amen? But now we do. We're clothed in his righteousness. I want to say something real quick. It's not our righteousness. When it talks about the armor of God, we can think, well, we need to take up the sword of the Spirit. We need to put on our breastplate. Let me tell you, it's not your armor. Whose is it? It's God's. And so when the devil sees you, guess who he sees? He sees the armor of God marching at him, and he trembles and fears. But guess what? You got to wear it. If he sees you, he's probably not as intimidated. But if he sees you clothed and looking like Jesus, he becomes intimidated. To be in right standing as if you never left or if sin never happened. To be as clean and pure and blameless in spirit as Jesus. If you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're learning, what does it mean to be righteous? It means to be as pure and clean and blameless in spirit as Jesus. Let's start in verse 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ's physical body. As a result, somebody say, as a result. As a result of Christ's death, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Well, Tim, I sure don't feel that way. That's a good place to start as we get into this. Because you know what? Your feelings have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Your feelings have nothing to do with it. Before we get there, let's keep on going. What is righteousness? It means to be right standing with God, to be right, to be in right standing as if sin never happened, to be clean and pure and blameless in spirit. It means to be treated by God as if sin never happened. It means that it is the God-given right to stand in His presence without guilt, without fault, without blame, without shame, without condemnation, or inferiority. Inferiority. You know, there's times where Christians feel inferior to one another. That's an attempt of the devil. You aren't inferior to each other. You're all born again. Blood of His blood, Spirit of His spirit. We aren't inferior to one another. We are all the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is a spiritual state that affects. Somebody say, it affects something. In other words, we need to let righteousness take an effect in our life. It affects our mind. We think differently. It affects our will. We will to do things that we didn't used to anymore. And it affects our emotions. Or in other words, it affects our soul. Righteousness is the greatest blessing bestowed upon a born-again believer. I want to say that again. It's the greatest blessing. Amen. It's a lot of silence. It is the greatest blessing bestowed upon a born-again believer. It is the key that unlocks all of the blessings and promises of God in our lives. Okay, we got about 10% people in agreement here. Righteousness is the greatest blessing bestowed upon us as born-again believers. Why? Because it unlocks everything else. It unlocks everything else. If you struggle with receiving from God, when you put on righteousness as your breastplate and you begin to walk in righteousness and you begin to think like you're righteous, you'll realize I have a right.
Yes.
How many of those videos, and most of them are not in good light, are people that are getting arrested and they'll start yelling, I have a right, or I have rights, and normally... Yeah, normally not. but as Americans, we like to say what? I have a right. I have a right to bear arms. I have a right for free speech. And are those things true? Yes. And true Americans will come against anything or anyone that will come against it. My name's Tim Hines, and I approve this message. But as American citizens, we have rights outlined in the Constitution that say you have the right. You have the right to free speech, not to be censored. You have the right to bear arms, to protect you and the people around you. You have the right for assembly. Praise God. I remember, I don't know, probably about 4 years ago, that right was infringed upon. And I want to remind you, I did not want to get political today. I want to remind you what our governor said. Now, unfortunately, he had his election. But I want to remind you what our governor said. Easter Day of 2020, if anyone assembles, I will send the police to get their license plate. Now, praise God, because we have a judge executive that said, our police are too busy for that. They need to be out, I don't know, doing their jobs and protecting. Amen? But we have a right to assembly. Now, let's get back to the Word of God. We have a right, amen? Yes. We have a right to the promises of God. We have a right to everything that God has in His Word. If it's in His Word, you have a right to it. But there's things that need to switch in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, that need to switch from off to on. Things that need to be converted from one thing to another. When we are made right, we need to let the control of sin switch to the control of righteousness. Amen. Say that with me. Control of sin, control of sin to control of righteousness. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. I really didn't want to get political today. Hopefully that's it. Maybe not. Who knows? Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. When we are made righteous, sin no longer controls us. Well, Tim, it sure feels that way. Well, you need to make the switch. Verse 12, don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give into sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have been, you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Sin is no longer your master. For you are no longer, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Praise God. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. But you know what? Some Christians really believe that. That's ridiculous. Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey the teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Can I keep going? You know, when you come to church, it's like you're sitting down at a banquet feast. And the word of God is being served. And you should just feed and feed and feed and feed. Verse 19, because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led to even deeper into sin. Now, somebody say now.
Now,
now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteousness, living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do what is right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that ended in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things which lead to holiness. As a result, in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, or in other words, righteousness, is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You need to make the switch from control to sin to control to righteousness. Or in other words, I'm not controlled by sin anymore. And some Christians will leave it at that. I'm not controlled by sin anymore. And they do what? They continue in their sin. But I'm not a slave to sin anymore, but I am still a slave. I like to say it like this. You are free from sin, but you're not free from Him. As Americans especially, and when we think about the term freedom, it means that there is no thing, there's nothing to obey. I can go off and do whatever I want to do now. Now that I'm free from sin, I can go off into even more sin. No, he sets you free from sin so that you can have a new master. I know this is hitting a wall with some people. But the devil is no longer your master, but you still have another master. Paul was right when he said, I'm using this slavery as an illustration to help you understand. Because you are no longer slave to sin, but you are still a slave to him. Which means what? I don't get to do what I want to do. Righteousness is now in control, not sin. Righteousness produces holiness, not holiness produces righteousness. A lot of Christians get this flip-flopped. If I can do enough good things, then I'll be made righteous. Well, that's counterintuitive to what Paul just said here. He says that righteousness produces holiness. You need to be made right. When you sin and when you mess up, that's when you need your righteousness the most. When you sin and when you mess up and when you fail, you need that righteousness to go boldly before him and confess it. And he does what? He forgives and he cleanses of all unrighteousness. Righteousness produces holiness. Holiness does not produce righteousness. Righteousness is now the most powerful force in our life. If we yield to it and we renew our mind to it. Say it with me. Righteousness.
Righteousness.
Say this with your mouth. Confess it with your heart.
Righteousness,
righteousness is now the most powerful force in my life. You need to make the switch from control to sin or a slave to sin to now you are a slave to righteousness. You are under the control of righteousness, which is the most freeing thing. Amen? Either you're a slave to sin, which leads to bondage, or you're a slave to righteousness that leads to eternal life. Are you with me? The consequences. Verse number two, you need to make the switch from a consciousness of sin or a mentality of sin to a righteousness consciousness. Mentality of sin to a mentality of righteousness. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit, what? Renew your mind, your thoughts, your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to what? Be like God. Truly righteous and holy. Somebody say that. Renew my mind, my thoughts, my actions, my attitudes. In verse 24, man, just really makes some religious people mad. Put on your new nature. How were you created? To be like him. Truly righteous and holy. Turn with me back to Romans. You might as well just hold your finger in Romans. Romans chapter 12. In verse 1, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind we find that he will find acceptable. This is the true way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but be transformed. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Turn a couple pages back to Romans chapter 5. Somebody say, renew the mind.
Renew the mind.
Say it with me. I am.
Right now.
Righteous. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even, somebody say, even greater. Even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. Somebody say, the result is different. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads us to being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater, somebody say, even greater, is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live and triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Other versions put it like this, that they will reign in life through Christ Jesus. Let's keep going, just a few more verses. In verse 18, it says, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings about right relationship or righteousness with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people can see how sinful they are. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Or in other words, where sin abound, grace much more abounds. Verse 21, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. There needs to be a switch in our mind from sin to righteousness. God did not set you free to continue to think like a sinner. God did not set you free to continue to walk in condemnation. Can I help you with something real quick? There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation keeps you where you are. Conviction lifts you from where you're at. The work of condemnation is to keep you there, to beat you down. And I like to say it like this, no one can beat you up better than yourself. Condemnation will beat you down and keep you there. You'll get yourself in agreement with the devil and you and him will beat you up real nice. But conviction of the Holy Spirit helps you realize that, okay, I messed up here. I blew this. But I'm righteous. And so now I go before him and I repent. I confess my sin. And he is faithful. Somebody say he's faithful. When it says that he's faithful, it means he's going to do it again and again and again. And he's so constant. There's no shadow of turning in his faithfulness. But not just faithful, but he's faithful and just. Or in other words, in the court of law, he will pronounce justice and the verdict is forgiveness and cleansing of all unrighteousness. It's not just forgiveness. It's also cleansing of all unrighteousness. So we need to switch in our mind from a sin consciousness to a righteousness consciousness. If you think about sin, you'll continue to get sin. If you think about righteousness, you'll continue to get righteousness. Are you with me? How many of y'all like Thanksgiving? You think about Thanksgiving? What do you think about? Food. And if you think about it long and hard enough, guess what you're going to get on Thanksgiving? Food. What you think about, you'll get. Are you with me? What you think about, you'll get. Or as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think you're just a sinner, That's what you'll struggle with. One of the hardest things, the hardest phrases to get Christians to work their way out of is, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It sounds like it's profound. It sounds like Jesus wrote it. He didn't. He didn't. He didn't write it. Paul didn't write it. Peter didn't write it. We are not just sinners saved by grace. We are the righteousness of God, saved by His grace. Are you with me? I am no longer a sinner. You are no longer a sinner. Man, I'm losing some people. Come on. You are no longer a sinner, but Tim, I just sinned. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that needs to repent and move on. Not stay where you're at, because if you continue to think, well, I just sinned, you're going to stay there. But if you pick yourself up, let Him wash you in the blood and you move on. Amen? Yes. You'll walk in your righteousness. We need to make that switch in our mind. The third switch is we need to switch from the consequences of sin to the consequences of righteousness. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. It says that when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do what is right. We just read this. But what is the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that lead to eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Somebody say the result.
The result.
Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages, or we can say the results of sin is what?
Death.
But the free gift of God results in what? Eternal life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, you no longer have to accept the results of your old self, of your former life. You no longer have to accept the consequences of those things. He can make all things new. Somebody say that with me. All things new. Somebody say that again. All things new.
All things new.
Appreciate your enthusiasm, man. Verse 4, Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. And it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and has seated us with Him in heavenly places because we are united with Christ Jesus. What is the result? The result is I am no longer dead in my sins. I am made alive in Christ Jesus. And not only am I alive in Christ Jesus, He has seated me with Him. He has seated you with Him. Say it with me. He has seated me with Him. Man, I'm going to make some people mad. Hey, you still like me? I don't care. All right. I'm helping some people here. Where is He? He's seated at the... Where are you seated? Where is He seated? And where is your seat? Right next to Him. Where is His seat? Next to the Father, at the right hand of the Father, in glory. And where is yours? Right next to Him. Are you with me? There's some pretty incredible consequences. And these are some consequences I'm willing to take. And you should be too. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with Him you were raised to new life, because you trust the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sin and because of your sinful nature, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Those are some consequences I'm willing to accept. In this way, he disarmed, or in other words, he stripped the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. How many of y'all are interested in some of these consequences? You know, as a child, we all did not like consequences. Why? Because there are consequences for our actions. And usually the consequences we remember are consequences of not good actions. But I want to tell you, there are consequences for righteousness. There are results that happen because of our righteousness, or us walking in righteousness. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. And I'm going to go ahead and get a little bit of a head start here. You can catch up. For your land will be overgrown with thorns and briars. Consequences. Your joyful homes and happy towns will be gone. Consequence. The place or the palace of the city will be deserted and busy towns will be empty. Wild donkeys will frolic and flocks will graze in the empty forts and watchtowers. Consequences. Verse 15. Until at last the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven, then the wilderness will become a fertile field. And the fertile crop will yield bountiful crops. Justice will rule in the wilderness, and righteousness, somebody say righteousness, in the fertile field. And this righteousness, somebody say this righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness that we get to wear. This righteousness will bring peace. I'll take some peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence. Yes. My people will live in safety. Quietly at home, they will be at rest. I love verse 19. Even if the forest should be destroyed and the city torn down, the Lord will greatly bless his people. Yes. Who? The righteous. Somebody say that. The righteous. The righteous. The Lord will greatly bless his people. Wherever they plant seed, bountiful crops will spring up. Their cattle and donkeys will graze freely. How many of you want your cattle and your donkeys to graze freely? Well, maybe that doesn't ring a bell for you, but how many of you would like to see harvest in your life? Well, I think part of the reason we fail to receive a harvest is because we don't have a righteousness mentality. We don't have a righteousness mentality. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Let's talk about some more consequences. Romans chapter 5. We already read this. So we see that consequences are peace, rest, quietness, confidence, safety, prosperity. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 17, if you skim down just a little bit, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph or victory. I like what other versions render it. They will reign in life. We see that the consequences are peace, rest, quietness, confidence, safety, prosperity, triumph, and reigning in this life. If you would, let's go to, well, actually, we don't need to go there, but Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Somebody say that, bold as a lion. Say that again, I'm as bold as a lion. Say it. I am as bold as a lion. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5. So we see that the consequences of righteousness are peace, rest, quietness, confidence, safety, prosperity, triumph, reigning in life, boldness. Hebrews chapter 5. This is something that we all need here. We're going to start in verse 13. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Or other versions put it like this, is not skilled in the word of righteousness. Solid food is for those who are mature, who go through training and have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Somebody say that, the difference between right and wrong. When you walk in your righteousness, you have the supernatural ability of discernment to know what is right and what is wrong, which way to go and which way not to go. You know what to do. Are you with me? You know what to do. You know where to go. You know who to stay away from. You know what to listen to and what not to listen to. You know what to watch and what not to watch. And some people, there's some things you just shouldn't watch. There are some TV shows you just shouldn't watch, but they're so cool. That's great and all, but is it developing righteousness in you? James chapter 5 and verse 16. We all know this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So what are some of these consequences? We've got peace. We've got rest. How many of y'all could use some peace? How many of you could use some rest? Quietness, confidence, safety. How many of y'all want some prosperity? Praise the Lord. Triumph, reigning in life. You've got discernment. Now you've got effective prayers. Jesus said it like this, ask anything in my name and I will do it. That's such a powerful statement. That's a statement I couldn't say. Why? Because if some people ask some things of me, I'm not willing to do it. But Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. How many of y'all want another consequence here? Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And verse 17. When you're there, say, I'm there. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say that, joy. In the Holy Ghost. Somebody say joy in the Holy Ghost. So not only do we have peace and rest and quietness and triumph and discernment, effective prayer life now, we now have a new life that is marked by goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say that joy in the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all need some joy this morning? You need some joy in the Holy Ghost. Some joy in the Holy Ghost. Some people need some joy. Some people need some joy. Some people need some joy. You've been downtrodden for too long. You've been pressed down for too long. But I want to tell you, just as Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, pick it back up and put it back on. Pick up that breastplate of righteousness and put it back on. You may not be wearing it right now, but I'm telling you, pick it back up. Put it back on. Well, how do I do it? By believing. By believing. There's some things that we need to trade. Are y'all ready for this? We need to trade the sinner mentality for a righteousness mentality. How do you do that? By renewing your mind. I no longer think the way I used to think. I no longer think about the things I used to think. I no longer think the way about things that I used to think. I think the way he thinks about them. My mind is being renewed I no longer think about sin, which results in what? More sin. I'm no longer a sinner, which continues to make me what? A sinner. I think about righteousness. That does what? Makes me righteous. We need to trade the tradition of dead works for a believing by faith. Somebody say that. Tradition of dead works for believing by faith. Turn with me just a few pages back to Romans chapter 4. You know, Romans is a good book if you haven't caught on. Romans chapter 4 and verse 2 says, if his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. Talking about Abraham. But that was not God's way. For scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Well, Tim, how do I put on righteousness? By believing. By believing. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their works, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. We need to trade our sinner mentality for a righteousness mentality. We need to trade a tradition of old dead works trying to obtain something from God to believing God by faith. We need to trade a dead life for a new life. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me just read it to you. You can catch up if you want to, but I'm going pretty fast here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. The old life is what?
Gone.
Somebody say that, gone. Where'd it go? It's gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So not only do you walk in righteousness, it's your responsibility to do what? To help people get into righteousness by receiving Jesus. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Praise God. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. That's such an honor. We speak for Christ. Whoa. We what? Speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. Other versions put it like this, and I think it's a better translation. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us so that we could be made right with God. Are you with me? We need to trade the sinner mentality for the righteousness mentality. How do you trade it? Well, you just get rid of it and you pick it up. You trade the tradition of dead works for believing by faith. You trade a dead life for a new life. And you trade the consequences of sin for the consequences of righteousness. Or in other words, I no longer accept those consequences for my sin any longer. Why? Because they were nailed to the tree with Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what? What is right. Now, what happens right after that? By his wounds, we are healed. Walking in righteousness is intimately tied to healing. Walking in righteousness is intimately tied to healing. He personally, somebody say,
he personally
carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, somebody say, by his wounds. Say it with me, I am
righteous.
And so I say, oh, come on, y'all.
So I say.
It says, let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say so.
It means that you've got power in your mouth Worship band, go ahead and come on up. You've got power in your mouth to say so. You've got power in your mouth to say so. Some people are getting in. I appreciate y'all, but I want a little bit more here. You've got power in your mouth to say so. Say what? Say whatever he says about you. It says that by his stripes, I am healed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Satan has no right to afflict my body. Why? He has no right. No right. No right. Somebody say that. You have no right to afflict my body, but I have a right. His right is infringing upon my right. Are you with me? He thinks he has a right, but he does not. Are you with me? Can I tell you something? We've been in Romans a lot. We've been in Romans a lot. Did you know that the devil is mentioned one time in the entire book of Romans? Once. You want me to show you? Romans chapter 16. In verse 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The only time Satan is mentioned in the entire book of Romans is right here where he belongs. Somebody say it. I am redeemed. I am righteous. And I say so. You know, my daughter's getting to the point where she's asking, why? Reason doesn't work, but this works because I said so. Because I said so. Well, why? Why should I be healed? Because he said so. He gave you the right. He gave you the right to be healed. And what keeps you bound, what keeps you sick, what keeps you in lack, what keeps your harvest from coming is that there is a mentality that I don't deserve this. Or if I can do enough, then I can attain it. Your works are getting in the way of the gift. Let me say that again. Your works are getting in the way of the gift. There is nothing you can do to attain it. It is something that you receive freely. Are you with me? How many of y'all want to trade? How many of y'all want to make a trade? How many of y'all want to make a trade? You're going to trade. You're going to trade your sickness for his healing.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
You're going to trade your sin for his righteousness. You're going to make a trade for your lack for his abundance.
Yeah.
How many of y'all, that's a fair trade? That's not really a fair trade, but I'm going to take it anyways. Are you with me? If you would, stand with me. We're going to make a trade this morning. Now, first and foremost, some people need to be made right. And you do that by believing in your heart that Christ has been raised from the dead, and you say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So everybody, if you would, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, never done it, never prayed this prayer, I want you to raise your hand. Have a little boldness. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Or maybe you can say this, I was wearing the breastplate of righteousness for some time, but I took it off. I got a little lazy. I got into some condemnation that kept me down. But you want to put it back on. You want to put on your righteousness again. You want to put on the armor of God once again. Raise your hand. You've gotten a little bit lazy. You need to put it back on. You need to put it back on. Say this with me. Everybody. Jesus, you are Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And my confession is made unto salvation. And my believing is making me righteous. I am right now righteous. I'm not getting righteous. I'm not obtaining righteousness. I am righteous right now. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer a sinner. That's not my reality. That's not my spiritual state. I am righteous. And I'm as bold as a lion. I'm righteous. So I say so. I say what you say. I am healed. Say it with me. I am healed.
I am right.
I have more than enough. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I want. You meet all of my needs according to your riches in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I say so. I say so. I say so. Because I say so. Praise the Lord. 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 Now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The devil is going to come at you more than he ever has to convince you that what you heard today is not true. That your old life is more powerful than your new life. Or that the consequences of the sin that you've sown are the consequences that you need to reap and that you need to receive. No. Somebody say no.
No.
Somebody say no.
No.
Somebody say no.
No.
Somebody, no.
No.
No, no, no. You've been made alive in Christ. Your old life is gone. Your new life has come. Amen. Your consequences are now the consequences of righteousness. Are you with me? Your consequences are righteousness. Praise the Lord. 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 I hear it so clearly that some people have been blocked from receiving for so long, but the blockage was in their mentality, was in their minds. But now you got the keys. Now you get it. Now I understand. Are you with me? And I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the name of Jesus. We're going to begin to see breakthrough after breakthrough. Breakthrough after breakthrough. Breakthrough after breakthrough. We're going to hear testimony after testimony after testimony. God did this and God did that, and look what He has done. There was a bad report, but guess what? The doctors don't understand. The doctors don't get it. Can I tell you what a doctor told me? Some of y'all knew I had a health struggle back at the beginning of the year, and I had two surgeries, and the doctor said, he said, if I didn't operate on you, I wouldn't have known those were your kidneys. Because if you look at my chart, well, there should be some damage here, there should be this, there should be that. He said, I operated on you myself. He said, I don't recognize those kidneys. Are you with me? Are you with me? There's some doctors are going to say, I know what you looked like before. I know what you looked like before. You don't look like that anymore. Are you with me? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. 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 You're stepping into something new. Amen? You're stepping into something new. You're stepping into something new. You're stepping into something new. And I'm saying that spiritually, but prophetically, I'm saying you're going to step naturally into something new. You're going to step naturally into something new. You're going to step naturally into something new. Something new. Something you've been believing for a long time. I see I can see it in my mind. I can see somebody stepping across the threshold into their new house.
All right.
I see the threshold there, and I see their shoe just walking into a new house. They're stepping into something new. You're stepping into something new. How many of you can see you stepping into your new car? Amen? Praise the Lord. You're stepping into something new. Can y'all put your faith in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you confess that with me? I'm stepping
into something new.
Say it,
I'm stepping
into something new.
Something new
is on the horizon. In fact, it's not on the horizon anymore. It's in front of me.
It's in front of me.
I believe it.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name. It's mine.
I say so.
Say it,
I say so.
I say so.
In Jesus' name.